Blog Talk Radio.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, and good morning. Welcome to Josie's Inspiration. This is Josie Hopkins, and I am so blessed to be able to be with you today as I share a message of inspiration that I hope will touch your life and to move you toward what God is calling you to do. Last week, I talked about the storms of life, and I talked about a little bit about how there are so many storms that we are going through. And we realize that we've just gone through the hurricanes, and they're still lingering off to the coast of the east, and possibly others will come along. But, you know, for those who are in sunny days or in sunny places, it can be easy to forget about those who are still in the storm. And so this morning, as I prayed for a message to share with you, and I opened up my God's little devotional book for women, two things came to me. My message, when the storm doesn't stop. And when I opened up my book this morning, the scripture that was there is from Romans. But the topic says, you should never let adversity get you down. Except on your knees, really a powerful word, because adversity and storms are always going to come. And I'm sure for those who are in Puerto Rico, those who are in places in the Caribbean, those who were affected by the storms in Houston and in New Orleans and Louisiana, those who have been affected in Florida, those who are being affected by storms all around us, not just weather storms, but the storms that are confronting us as we open the news, as we walk in our home, as we turn on the TV, there is a rage of storm all around us. So when the storm doesn't stop, what do? When it seems like all is falling apart in your life, how do you stand? Where do you turn? Where do you go for direction? And this scripture says in Romans 8:38-39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to read to you the passage that comes with this particular scripture, and I haven't read it already, so I'm just trusting and following God's lead that there's going to be a word in here for you and for me. And this says, many people see abundant spring rains as a great blessing to farmers, especially if the rains come after the plants have sprouted and are several inches tall. What they don't realize is even a short drought can have a devastating effect on a crop of seedlings that have received too much rain. Why? Because during frequent rains, the young plants are not required to push their roots deeper into the soil in search of water. If a drought occurs later, plants with shallow root systems will quickly die. We often receive abundance into our lives, rich fellowship, great teaching, thorough soakings of spiritual blessings. Tragedy enters our lives. We may find ourselves thinking God has abandoned us or is unfaithful. The fact is, we have allowed our easiness, the easiness of our lives, to keep us from pushing our spiritual roots deeper. We have allowed others rather than develop our own deep personal relationship with God through prayer and study of His Word. Only the deeply rooted are able to endure hard times without wilting. The best advice is to enjoy the rain while seeking to grow even closer to Him. Wow. I'm going to read part of that again. We often receive abundance into our lives. I think as I was talking with Kayla this morning, and we were talking about, you know, just that are happening, and I'm so grateful for the Finding My Way Network to allow me to bring Josie's inspiration, because this is my purpose that was developed and was shared with me through God many years ago, Josie's inspiration. And for a number of years, I did Blog Talk, and there, if you go search, there is a Blog Talk Radio for Josie's Inspiration that has shows that go back quite a ways, from 2008, I think, until about 2013. And so what I understand is that we get many blessings in our lives. We get great teaching, and we get thorough spiritual blessings. And then something comes along to disrupt that. And as I spoke with Kayla this morning, and we talked about some of the disruptors that are happening in our world, I'm keenly aware that Finding My Way Network has affiliates, Puerto Rico. And Puerto Rico belongs to us. It belongs to these United States. So I pray that people are not forgetting that we still have people suffering that are a part of our country. But the suffering goes beyond just the United States. But we play a major role in the country and in the world here in the United States. And as Christians, as believers in God, or those who believe whatever your faith, it doesn't matter. We have a source that is greater than all the tragedies to whom we can turn. When we turn on the TV and we see language that's damaging to the people that are being used to separate God's people, when we see tragedies that are happening, man-made and not man-made, we could lose hope. We could tunnel ourselves and bury our heads in the sand and pretend none of it's happening. But ye of little faith, regain strength. We have to be believers. We have to be not just believers, but doers of the world. It started off in my reading saying you should never let adversity get you down except on your knees. But again, on your knees. I learned as a child, and maybe many of you listening learned as a child, to get down on your knees and pray and say your prayers, to give honor to God, to praise and to thank Him for your blessings, to seek His direction. But even as I said that, except on your knees, I have a vision in my mind of all those NFL players who have been down on their knees. I have a vision of Colin Kaepernick down on his knees for what he believes in, knees, the bending effect of our knees is a submission, not to man, but to God. We need to submit to God on our knees, not for the world, but for our own spiritual strengthening. You should never let adversity get you down except on your knees. When the storm doesn't stop, you've got to get on your knees. You can't look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, solve my problem. Neighbor, help me. But we can look to our neighbor and we can link arms together with our neighbors and we can kneel for God. We can kneel in prayer and ask God to deliver his people, to touch in a mighty way who are being stricken by the storms of life, by the weather, the real storm, by personal tragedies. Kneel to the Almighty and give him the opportunity to help you overcome even in the midst of the storm. When I start speaking, you know, it's always amazing to me because I just sit down and I'm sitting here. I told Kayla, I'm in my praying chair this morning, which is on my back deck. It's a beautiful enclosed that I'm blessed that my husband created for me because he knows how much I love to be in nature. And I'll sit outside in the snow. I would sit outside in the rain just when I had a little deck that was not covered by anything except the trees. And so he enclosed this for me to give me a place that I could sit and enjoy and not be affected by the weather. But the weather is still here. And even though as I look out, I see the sun, I see the trees, I see the grass, I see the leaves changing, I see earth beauty all around me, I'm aware that others are waking up. They may be seeing the sun, but they may be seeing the devastation that has been left by the wind and the rain. They may be seeing the devastation from where there were lush green trees and beautiful scenery and resort areas. They're seeing devastation, dying, death, hunger, famine. We can't forget that we have to link arms. It's not our government that can save us. It is not our government that will rescue us. It is not our government that gives us peace of mind or direction for our lives. It is not our government or our president or our congressman or our senators. They are tools. And sometimes they're tools that are used in a destructive manner as we're seeing around us. But we are the people. We are the people who have been given an opportunity to link arms, to get down on our knees together, and to stand, even as we kneel in prayer, to stand for something greater than ourselves. Stand for our fellow man. Stand for our rights. What we know God is calling us to do. I believe we all have a call on our lives. From the day that we're born, there's a purpose that's been placed on us. Maybe we've been diverted and we think that we've lost our way. But the path that you're on may not seem to be a smooth one. It may not seem to be a straight one. It's taken us through some bumpy roads. But all of those pathways, all of those roads that we've been on, the journey that we continue to be on has a purpose. Bemoaning the trials and the tribulations that you experience, give thanks in all things. Give thanks in the tragedy for an awakening. There is an awakening happening, and it's calling us to pay attention, to pay attention to God's messages that he has for our lives. When I look back at Romans and Romans 8, it talks about how we are able to see ourselves in the flesh and see that the flesh can deter us from the godliness in us. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. We enjoy so many privileges, and it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get caught up in the abundance of our lives, in the things that give us immediate gratification. We're washed away or blown away. And when they are, what do you have when the storms don't stop? What are you left with when the rains continue to pour? What do you hold on to when the winds of life blow so torrentially that, oh my God, all you can do is call on his name? For I can present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, I don't know anyone who's sitting around and saying, well, I'm ready to die. Lord, take me home now. Possibly those who have weathered enough storms and have seen the glory of God in the midst of the storm are able to acknowledge that there is something better beyond this life. But for many of us, or for those, and I'll just say for me, while I know that God has a greater purpose, while I believe that there is a life that God has for me beyond this earthly life, that there is something greater beyond my present right now, I'm not ready to give it up and say, okay, you know what, I'm done. Lord, take me home. What I am willing to say is, God, use me as an instrument. Use me as an inspiration. Use me in the way that you would have me do the work that you're calling me to do. Scary, because when God puts something on your heart, you don't always know the path that it's going to lead you. You know, I told Kayla that in being on Finding My Way Radio and being introduced to her, I was being open to God to use me. I know there have been many times that God has shown me a glimpse of a direction or something that he has for me, and I jump out ahead and I say, okay, God, I know what it is. I'm going to go run and do it right now. Who's done that before? You know, that's the childlike behavior. Children, we're ready to run before we can walk. We're ready to fly, to soar into new things. But we haven't been grounded yet. And so, like those plants, like those crops that have been planted, if our seedlings have not been rooted deeply in our faith, if we have not been rooted, if we're not staying in his word and staying in his presence, then when those winds and storms of life come, we're going to be blown and tossed about just like leaves, just like unrooted seedlings. So I believe as we mature for rooted, because we've seen some things, we've felt some storms, we've experienced some trials and tribulations that have shown us on the other side that God is still faithful, that God still blesses us, that he brings us through the storms, even when it appears the storms don't stop. Maybe it's not a rainstorm. Maybe it's the wind. Maybe it's not a nature storm. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's not a storm for you personally, but maybe it's your family raging in all of our lives. So we've got to stay rooted in God. We've got to stay firmly planted in his word and in his message. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Strengthen your roots. Find that quiet time that you can listen for his message and for his word. He's trying to give us a message, but we have to be still. We have to be willing to hear him and not be afraid. Fear not, because he's not a God who's placed us here to be afraid, but to revere him and to revel in his mercy and to endure, not grudgingly, but thankfully and gratefully, because he gives us hope for times such as these. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjects, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even with ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Perseverance comes to those who are strong. So persevere, my loved ones. The storm hasn't stopped, and the storm continues to rage. I'm Josie Hopkins, and I pray that you will not let adversity get you down, except on your knees. God has a message for you. Everlasting love is always present. And I pray for peace and healing for our country and for our world as God chooses to work a blessing and miracle in our lives. Be blessed until I come back in 2 weeks. Amen.
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Greetings in the name of Jesus. This is Apostle Vusi speaking. I would like to welcome you in our program, The Divine Encounter. Firstly, I want to greet the woman of God that is responsible for this network, Kayla. Thank you for this opportunity again. Greetings to you, grace and mercy to you and the listeners, and as well your team out there. Amen. Now, today I want to speak about when God seems quiet. Amen. But before we get into the word, I would like us to read the scripture as a declaration. Amen. The scripture is on Joshua 1:8. And it reads thus follows. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Let your word, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, refresh us in Jesus' mighty name. Let it emancipate us. Let it change us in mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We welcome you this time in Jesus' mighty name. Speak to us. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Now, you know, most of us, we go through wilderness times when we feel like God is not answering anything. Even the children of Israel, you know, God took them out of Egypt after 40 years. And during that 40 years of slavery, it looked like God was quiet, but God was working behind the scenes. Amen. Just to illustrate some of the men of God who God spoke to them when people thought that he was quiet. Moses heard God's voice through a burning bush. Elijah heard it as a whisper. Amen. And then Prophet Samuel had an audible voice. And the disciples heard it as a thunder. God is communicating and is always communicating and uses a variety of ways to speak to us. Amen. But while we may celebrate in times of answered prayer, sooner or later, we must face an opposite truth. Sometimes God is silent too. Amen. Now, going to Habakkuk 1:1-6, let's read that. Amen. Let's read that. Amen. Now, I love it when God sometimes is quiet, because that's where we need to be praying the most. We don't need to complain, but we need to be praying. Amen. Because that's where now we're able to, because silence sometimes humbles us. Amen. Now, the scripture reads as follows in Habakkuk chapter 1. Verse 1-6. O Lord, how long shall I cry? This is Habakkuk asking God, Prophet Habakkuk. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear, even cry out to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For blundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. Look among the nations, and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it were told to you. For indeed I am raising up the children's a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breath of the earth. Amen. Look at God when he answers after Prophet Habakkuk is crying there to God and say, how long will you be quiet? Amen. How long shall I cry? Amen. The world is crying at the moment. And what we're going through, even in South Africa now, there's a lot of changes. We've got an economic decline. Women are being raped and killed. And as I heard now lately, they said South Africa has the highest ranking. It's on top in terms of women being killed in all the world, in the whole world. Amen. And this is sometimes disappointing. We ask ourselves, what is our government doing? Amen. But as well as Christians, we need to cry unto God. We need to call unto God so that he can deliver us from this. Amen. I believe that this is a demonic force that wants to bring our country down. Amen. And men and women of God should pray. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and cry unto me, I shall hear them from heaven, and I shall heal their land. Amen. We need to humble ourselves when we go to God. Amen. And we need to go to God with expectancy. Amen. We know that when that wilderness hit us, sometimes it's hard. It's not easy to take it. Amen. I've been in that position many times. I remember when I lost my job, when I was a prison warder. Actually, I didn't lose it. But I was tired of doing one and the same thing, frustrated that I've got qualifications. Why God is not promoting me in this job? And prison is very rough. Amen. And at one time, I woke up, told my wife that I'm no longer doing this. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to work anymore. But I'll look for something else. I had great ideas, business ideas. Let me tell you something. In that process, before I left, prison as a prison warden, amen. I worked there for 13 years. Now, when I left, in the process, because the forms, the papers were not signed yet, so I was still a member within the Department of Correctional Services. But I took a leave, all days leaves. I took all my years leaves, amen. Now, in the process, when I was on leave, one time we were fetching one of my sons and my children at the crèche, and we had a serious accident. We were hit by a truck, amen. And when we were hit by this truck, the car was beyond repair. You know, we were injured, all of us, in the process, because of anger as well and frustration. And you know, when you work in prison, your mind sometimes prison messes you up in your mind. Amen. Now, acting with my emotions, I shot at the guy because I wanted to shoot him. It was just a warning shot, in actual fact. Amen. But because of anger, I didn't even see how I released the bullet. Amen. But it just scratched him at the back. It never actually damaged anything, but it bruised him, actually. And for that, I got arrested on the scene. Amen. This is a confession. You know? And got arrested, but it was just for 24 hours. 24 hours later, I was released. Amen. Went to court for that issue. Whilst I was going to court, amen, because I knew that I was called then. You know, that this thing happened more than 10 years ago. I knew that I was called, but I was denying. Amen. After I went to the Bible college and all these things, I was in denial because everything was fine with me. I enjoyed my life. And God started closing doors because I didn't want to listen. Amen. Started closing these things. Amen. Came back, got frustrated, went to consult with Sangomas. I don't know, in other cultures, they call them witch doctors. Went there, right? And when I started consulting, went there with my wife because, you know, all our wives support us. We know as men that we always get support from our wives. When they started consulting, I wanted this case to go away. And God then, he was silent more than ever. Amen. Couldn't hear God. I couldn't pray. You know, I was angry at God. Why this thing happened to me? Very angry. Amen. As I was busy attending the court, in, out, for almost a year attending the court. Amen. And I was now the prosecutor was saying, you know, I want this guy. He knows the law, and he's an educated guy, so he knows the law, amen. So he needs to get a harsh sentence. Let me tell you something, because we're busy using this mutis and what with my wife. My wife one day stood up and said, no, I'm not gonna do this anymore. And I think you should stop. And it was the final day. It was a day of judgment, of sentencing. And let me tell you something. When we got into the court, amen, we went inside the court, okay, the case proceeded, and the prosecutor was still pressing and saying, no, this guy has to be sentenced, and he has to get at least 7 years. You know, I said, Lord, please help me. You know, I started praying right on the stand when I was, and God answered. You know how he answered? He answered through the judge. The judge stood up for me. I was so surprised. The judge said to the prosecutor, this man was provoked. He was with his family. What would you do if your wife and children, fainted in front of you after an accident? Wouldn't you think that they died and this guy never stopped on the stop sign? This guy was right. He was on the main road. I think we should let him go. He's got a good record. He doesn't have a criminal record in his life. He's educated. He's got qualifications. He's a father. You know, he's married. He's got a wife. He's focused. I don't think that he can do this again. But I'm just going to give him just a small suspended sentence so that he can learn. But after that, he is free to go. Let me tell you, God uses people that you don't even, when you think that God is quiet, that's when he starts working. You know, I was free. I was a free man. And since then, 10 years later, and in that 10 years, after being released, you know, even when God showed up in court, after that, it was quiet for a long time. Very, very long time. Quiet, looked for jobs, trying to get jobs. You know, they'll tell me that I'm overqualified. They can't afford to pay me. Amen. Even a list of 5,000 rents jobs, said just to sweep a street and what, I couldn't get hired. It was quiet. Our house, me and my wife, were seized. Some of the cars were taken. You know, we lost two houses in the process. That's when God now was shaping me. And I remember when I went to an apostle that raised me, you know, to what I am today, you know. And I said, no, God, you know what, God, I want to hear you speaking to me. Then we made an appointment. We went there with my wife because my wife, she's a musician. But at that time, things were quiet. She was not getting booked. It was like hard. We sleep with no food in our stomach sometimes. We'll only allow our children to eat and we'll pretend as if we ate before them so that they cannot see. You know, we evicted in one of our houses in an exclusive suburb and then we had to sell one of the cars so that we can get a place to stay. But that money could sustain us for only 6 months. Now, when we moved out of these houses, Amen. And everything was quiet. I was so frustrated. We made an appointment, went to see this apostle. When we went to see this apostle, amen, he said to me, you know what? You know that God has called you. And as long as you've backslidden like this and you don't want to answer to your call, things will get worse. You need to repent and ask God to forgive you. Then you'll see and move where you are. Try to get money. That's how we sold our cars and what, so that we can get a place to say we moved. And then I answered the call of God. I repented. I cried unto God and say, God, I repent. I repent for what I've done, for what I am. And I also, because my wife started going to another church, a beautiful church. You know, a prophet in that church used to tell her that you guys are called. Your husband is called, but is in denial. As long as it's like this, he's going to suffer more. He has to answer. Amen. I'm not saying we're all called. We're not called the same. Amen. We're called differently. Some of us were called when we were under that, that oppression, when things were hard. You know, some are called, we are called differently. Amen. God rebuked me, actually, because I was called. It was like God was rebuking me. Amen. Now, after that, when we answered the call, we started functioning in the church, serving in the church. Amen. Now, God started opening things. I got a job. My wife now started getting booked. Amen. Now, this is the work of God. It's not us. And now we started, our lives started being reshaped, restored. Amen. He was restoring everything. Amen. As he told Prophet Ezekiel, that son of man, do you think that these bones can rise again? Amen. And God did that to us as well. Amen. We prophesied into our situations. We told, we spoke on our lives. Amen. Sometimes you need to prophesy. You are a prophet of your life. Amen. And we said, God, we're going to come out of this. We're going to be successful. God is going to show up and show off in our lives. And is doing that ever since then. Amen. I can't complain. Amen. He's been good to us. Amen. Now, look at God when you go to verse 5 in Habakkuk 1, verse 5, when he replies Prophet Habakkuk, he says, look among the nations and watch and watch, be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it were told. For indeed I am raising up the children, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. Amen. This is powerful. Amen. You know when God restores you, children of God, you know, he goes beyond. Amen. He surprises you. Amen. Only then, before, you just need to be patient, actually. Amen. Be patient. Because when God blesses you, it does it in doubles. Amen. And now, in second, just to add on that, 2 Kings 18:1 says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on earth. Sometimes, amen, God sends somebody to prophetically to speak on your life. And if it wasn't that man of God who spoke in my life, I wouldn't know where I would go. But because of that, he told me, he said, you know what, repent, God is going to answer. Amen. Now, this is what God says to because you remember Prophet Elijah is the one who said, he prophesied that the place they won't have rain for three years. Amen. He spoke together and said, God, let it not rain for 3 years. Amen. Now, God sent him back because people were crying that there's drought, there's hunger. He says, go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send a rain on the earth. Amen. Sometimes God sends somebody to speak on your life. It doesn't have to sometimes be a prophet. We always have to keep our spiritual ears open. Amen. God speaks in different ways. Amen. Now, if you look at Elijah, Elijah had been used for of God to hold back rain for 3 years, as I said, in the land. Amen. Because of the sins of the children of Israel. Amen. And according to the New Testament, this is after a long time, was actually 3.5 years when it was not raining. The famine was 3.5 years long, and 3.5 years the people apparently continued to sin. And Elijah continued to hold on by faith, but God said nothing. Amen. God was apparently inactive, not speaking, even to his great servant Elijah. Amen. I know some of you have been there. I've been there. Amen. Has the silence of God in your life ever been eerily strong, very strong? Amen. Psalm 83:1 says, do not keep silent. This is David. He says to God, do not keep silent, do not hold your peace, and do not be silent, do not be still, O God. Amen. But let me tell you, let me motivate you by this. Silence is not an absence of action. Amen. Matured Christians or matured saints, I like using the word saints. Amen. Because a Christian, anything can be a Christian. Amen. Matured saints know that some of the biggest moves God has made in their lives have come after a period of spiritual dryness. Amen. Therefore, stay very close. This is my encouragement. Stay very close to God and watch for his power to be displayed. Amen. Because when God shows off, when God shows up, he shows off. Amen. I like the quote, or a quote that says, and it's an old proverb quote, and I quote, the darkest hour is just before the dawn. Amen. The darkest hour is before the dawn. Amen. Have you been traveling maybe at night around 1, 2 a.m.? It's more darker, but you know that dawn is coming. Amen. Even in our lives, it's like that. You know that where you're going, you're almost there, and it gets more darker. But after that, amen, joy comes in the morning. Amen. Amen. Now, chapter 30, verse 5, reads as follows, just to motivate, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. His favor is for a lifetime. It lasts lifetime. Amen. When God blesses you, he doesn't take it back. It's only our sins that we see the blessing not working in our lives. Amen. When you keep on sinning, then we won't see God working in our lives. Amen. But the question is now, is what do we do during the spiritual dry periods in our lives? Amen. First point, don't ignore the silence. Amen. Don't ignore the silence. Stay very close to God, even when God is silent. Psalm 37:4 says, and I like this scripture. It says, delight yourselves in the ways of the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Amen. As you delight yourself in that silence, you are delighting yourself in the ways of the Lord. You don't lose track. You are delighting yourself in the ways of the Lord, and God shall give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Because sometimes these are tests. God wants to see us. Amen. These are divine encounters. Sometimes we hear God more when things are not going well in our lives. Amen. And the second point, confront known sin in your life. You should confront your sin. Confront the known sin. You know your sins. No one should tell you about your sins. You know them. Amen. Confront them and repent. Because sin may not be the reason you don't, it may be the reason you don't sense the closeness of God. Amen. But if you have known sin in your life, it will affect your intimacy with God. Amen. The third point is go back to what you know. Go back to what you know. That is very important. Amen. There's a song that I like. It says, take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I started from. Amen. You know, you go back to where you started from with God. You consult back and you reminisce and remember. and you correct your ways. Amen. The next point is make a decision. Choose sides. God says he doesn't like a double-minded man. If you are hot, be hot. If you are cold, be cold. When you are cold, be cold. When you are hot, be hot. Amen. You can't adequately serve God and the world. Amen. You cannot. You cannot serve God and serve the world. Amen. And another scripture that I want to read just to add on this point that I just said when I said choose sides, it's in Joshua 20. Joshua 20, 15. Amen. Joshua 20, 15. If we can go there quickly as I'm closing, I'm almost closing. Amen. If we can go there quickly, Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 20, 15. Amen. Let's go there. Let me read it quickly for you. And I am reading. Amen. It's actually Joshua 25. Amen. Not 15. Excuse me. Amen. And it reads as follows. If the relatives of the victim come and avenge the killing, the leaders must not release the slayer to them, for he killed the other person unintentionally without previous hostility. Amen. Amen. Jesus. Amen. And it continues as we continue. As we continue in verse 6. But the slayer must stay in that city and be tried by the local assembly, which will render a judgment, and he must continue to live in that city until the death of the high priest who was in the office at the time of the incident. And after that, he is free to return to his own home in the town from which he fled. Amen. So sometimes we have to account for our sins. Amen. And we account for our sins when we have to be punished for those sins. Amen. It is good sometimes as you account for your sins, you don't move away from God. Amen. When you're punished, because there's no pass one, pass all in the kingdom of God. Sometimes there are things, you know, some punishments, they'll make you choose sides. It's very important. When you make decisions out of what you've done in your life, make a decision that now I'm choosing God, irregardless of my punishment. Amen. Now, finally, as I close, amen, get ready to receive. Amen. Get ready to receive. Amen. You may be going, you went through punishment, you went through hard times, wilderness and all that. God was silent and now he's starting to answer. You are free. And get ready to receive. God will break the silence someday. Get ready to receive. Because some of the things when God is quiet is because he's dealing with our sins. Amen. We have to repent. We have to go through that process of repentance, punishment, repent, so that when we come out, God, we're matured, we're ready to receive God's blessings, we're ready that God can use us. Amen. Amen. And in closing, I would like to close with the scripture, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Amen. Isaiah 26:3. Finally, Christians are quick to share stories of answered prayers and feel good miracles, but not so verbal about times when pain and strife persisted and in spite of faithful prayer. Amen. Amen. Sometimes God may seem silent in our lives, but in reality, he's not quiet. Amen. And I'm closing. Let me pray over you. Let me bless you this afternoon. Amen. As I close, may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hope you enjoyed the sermon. This is Apostle Vusi from the Living Stone Ministries. Hope to speak to you again next week. Amen. Stay blessed and be in peace. Shalom.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and happy Friday Eve. This is Tammy Pope, your host of the Virtuous Businesswoman Motivational Broadcast. I am absolutely ecstatic to be here with you on this morning, and I am going to make a brief introduction, and then we're going to dive right in. I am a 30-plus time self-published author, speaker, and coach who looks to help women to eliminate excuses, excel in life and business, and to create their legacy by writing their way through life. Yes, I tell people how to write books and not feel bad about it. And that goes right along with what I want to talk to you about today. When it comes to building a ministry or a business, it's a lot like raising a baby. And I know you're probably thinking, wait, what? It really is. So over the next few shows, what I want to do is to talk to you, the radio audience, about something that I've been sharing on Facebook, and that is having a what I call babypreneur mentality, meaning that you are building your ministry and your business with a baby mindset. So what does that mean? First of all, if you are heavily dependent on other people to the point that you almost develop a victim mentality to where you always need their help, they'll show you how to do it, you'll tell them you can't do it, you'll say that you can't do it by yourself, that they're better equipped to do it than you. That's part of having a babypreneur mentality. And what happens is when you do finally learn to stand on your own, you become a people pleaser. And even further than that, you will show people what you've learned and what you can do, but you will need constant praise. And when you don't get that praise, it's a problem. So one thing that we have to learn is that we have to learn how to be proud of ourselves. And that comes from being confident in your abilities and your calling, doing things on your own when necessary, and practicing and honing what it is that you have put together, you will learn to be proud of yourself. However, there is a downside to that. When you do start to grow up, if you will, in that way, people are not going to like that. They are going to look at you and wish for the days that you were, you know, hanging onto their leg like babies do, or hiding behind their coattail, you know, thinking that they were your safe place. And for those of us who are parents or caretakers of children, think about those times when you look at a child who is getting older, becoming more independent. What do you say when you look at that child? You look at them and you say, where did my baby go? Or where does the time go? So when you start showing that confident ability in building your ministry and building your business, and things are going well and you don't need as much, you're always going to have someone who is going to have an issue with that, especially if you have a product or a service that is tied to what you do. The prices that you can sometimes be the great equalizer. People will know the blood, sweat, and tears that you put into what you created, but they may not want to pay the price that you set, and you'll lose people. But don't lose people to the point where you start to discount yourself and what you do. And there will be those naysayers who will come along and will, well, I remember you when you didn't have this and you weren't doing this. So basically they're saying, I remember your baby days. And it is hard for them to understand that you have indeed grown up. But what you don't want to fall into is allowing your value to be tied up in that. And it's okay to have those friends, those mentors, those coaches, but what you have to do is to learn to stand on your own. Because when you start to run your ministry or your business in a way that requires validation, you're going to burn out long before you get done what God wants you to do. So here are a few things that I want you to think about before we move to the next area. The first thing is, do what you can for yourself. People are more likely to help you when they know that you are trying to do something on your own, rather than you saying that you want to do it and you're asking them for help right out of the gate. Think about those times when your child or child in your life has come up to you and they're whining and they're like, oh, I can't do it, it's too hard. And the first thing you ask them is, have you tried? And they're like, well, no, but I just need your help. And you tell them what? Go try it for yourself, and if you still can't figure it out, then you come back. And even though that child walks away from you mad, that's going to force them to try. It's the same thing for us when we're building a ministry or a business. People want to know what time, effort, money, and resources you have already put in before they step up and help you. The second thing that you have to realize is that their time is just as valuable and precious as yours. Those who have served as your guides, they have shown you what to do so that you can do it for yourself and keep going. They don't have time to spoon feed you. They don't have time to hold your hand. Yes, you know, you may have to call on them every now and then. However, they are looking and watching to see how you move forward using the things that they taught you or exposed you to. So the third thing, learn how to be your own reward. Figure out what motivates you most and use that as a means to spring forward. Know how to celebrate even the small things. I mentioned this on my live Facebook show, but one of the coaches that I follow, she's out of California. Every time I have an accomplishment or reach a milestone, she always asks me, she says, Tammy, how are you going to celebrate? What are you going to do? And I usually start off with cookies. Cookies are my comfort food. And she will say, you know, have at it and eat an extra one for me since I can't be there with you, but I'm cheering you on. So you have to learn to celebrate yourself and the accomplishments and milestones that you're reaching in your ministry and your business. Lastly, before we move on to the next area, resist the urge to have baby prices and stand by the prices that you set. Don't allow people to haggle your prices down. If your price is an issue for them, let it go. Because what you don't want to do is end up in an energy draining ministerial or business relationship with somebody and you're regretting it because they aren't appreciative of it and are not doing the work. I have had that happen before. A couple of months ago, well, actually, it was late last year, I shut down my Every Woman is a Businesswoman boot camp because I was trying to help ladies who I knew wanted to work through the boot camp. They couldn't afford it. So I reached out to them. I said, you know what, let's do this. I'm going to help you out. And out of the 12 women that I brought in, because I only take 12 into my boot camp, only one of them did anything. And it became frustrating to me because I was sitting down, you know, every Sunday night or early Monday morning for anywhere from 2 to 4 hours preparing the post, you know, scheduling the post, putting up the worksheets and all this other stuff, and I was doing all of that for one person. So I'm not saying that you cannot help anybody, but I'm saying that it needs to be on a case-by-case basis. So the second area that I want to talk about is this. Babies are not very careful little humans at all. And they often learn things the hard way. And no matter how many times you warn them, they still want to try, and then they get hurt. You know, think about how many times you tell a child to stay away from the stove because it's hot. And as soon as you look away, they go over there and you're like, get back from that stove. It's hot. And as soon as you look away, they teeter right back up to that stove. And the next thing you know, you hear screaming. What happened? They touched the stove and they got hurt. So what's my point? My point is this. Do your homework on anyone that you want to work with or any approach that you want to try. Everything that you hear about it is negative. Walk away. That's a sign. And even though you may hope that things maybe will be different for you, it may not be. And you can't throw a side eye at everybody that's trying to talk you out of working with a certain person or trying a certain thing, because everybody is not saying that with an ulterior motive. Just like parents hate to see their kids get hurt, you have people who are genuinely supporting you and trying to help you that feel the same way. They don't want to see you get hurt. They don't want to see you get burned. They don't want to see you fall from trying this thing or working with a certain person. And the reason why we have the attitude that we often have when people are trying to talk us out of things is because of shiny object syndrome. We go after every little thing that looks good, feels good, smells good, tastes good, everything. But the thing about it is, shiny object syndrome will kill your ministry or your business long before it gets started. Because as your parents or your grandparents told you growing up, everything that's good to you is not good for you. So even if it's something good, make sure that that person that you want to work with, that tool you want to try, is going to move your business in the right direction. And so you may say, well, how do I do that? How do I evaluate? First thing you want to do is read all reviews and testimonials even before you do a free trial, free download, free consultation, any of that. Read them all and kind of get a feel for what this person or what that tool provides. Second thing, and this one got me into a lot of trouble last night on my Facebook show when I was presenting this, but I want you to ask yourself, what makes what you see better than what you already have? Just because it is popular or producing different results does not mean that it is better than what you already have. If what you have is doing what you need it to do at the time that you need it to do it, then keep going with what you have, because trying to keep up with your ministry and business idols is only going to do one thing, and that's what I'm going to talk about next. Ask yourself if investing in what you see is going to put your ministry or your business into unreasonable or an unnecessary amount of debt. you may want the convenience of what that thing offers. However, if what you have coming in is not going to be enough to pay the expenses that you have in your ministry and your business and pay for this thing that you're looking at, you're going to make yourself ministry or business poor. So you have to realize that even within your ministry and your business, you have to operate and build within your means. If you know that as a pastor, getting that automatic tithing or giving kiosk is $2,500 a month, and the expenses of your church are $2,500 a month, but you guys are only bringing in $2,700 a month, don't put your ministry in debt trying to get that thing. Or even in business, you look at how the idols your business moguls that you follow do their live streams and things like that, and you're wondering what tool that they use, and you look at that tool and it's $147 a month, but because they're using it, you think that that's what you have to go get. And that's not the case. I tell people all the time, when I do my radio show and I'm doing this call-in portion and a live portion, I do it with 3 cell phones, earbuds, and a laptop. So it doesn't cost my vision anything for me to do that. Is there stuff out there that would help me to not have every cell phone in my house doing something different? Of course there is. However, you use what you can until you can get what you want. That was one thing that my mom always taught me. The last thing I want to talk about, gosh, time has gotten away. I get really excited about this stuff. But the last thing that I want to say is this. If it is a person that you want to work with, don't be afraid to ask for references, both positive and negative. If they're up, willing to give them to you, especially the negative ones, walk away. And the thing about it is, while we want to present and put our best foot forward, we need to let people know about those 3-star reviews, those 2-star reviews, those 1-star reviews. People want to know that you're human. And I mentioned this on my live show last night. As a book writing coach, I had one job that I am not ashamed to admit I screwed up. I had a glitch with my computer, so I thought that all of my changes got saved. They didn't, and I sent back a file that still had problems. And I was grateful because this person gave me a lot of grace. And I actually made that the subject of my Facebook Live, and I talked about the positive side of failure. So if they want to hide the negative results, that's not somebody that you need to entrust with a vision for your ministry or your business, because you need to know that they are willing to tell you both sides of the stories and look at both sides of the coin. So that is my story, and I am sticking to it. Once again, this is Tammy Pope, your host of the Virtuous Businesswoman Motivational Broadcast. I dare not end my show without thanking two very, very special people. Kayla Padgett, I love you bunches and oodles. Thank you so much for all of your love and your support. And to Nicole Gates, the woman who lovingly bullied me into applying for this radio show in the first place, I am always in your debt. And until December, because we're about to enjoy the holidays, I'm going to be eating turkey and dressing on the 22nd. I don't know about y'all. However, as I always say, God bless, Godspeed in all that you do, and keep charging. See you guys in December.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.